You will never possess that which you do not pursue. If you do not pursue the Lord, if you do not truly from your heart seek Him, you won't find. There's times when God touches our lives, but it's to whet our appetite for Him. And we need to pursue. And you will never pursue that which you are not convinced of. That which you're not persuaded about, you won't pursue. So if you want more, you got to press in. Get past the self-consciousness. Set your focus and your sights on things above where Christ is. Amen. It's superior reality. So superior reality is the kingdom of God. It's a higher plane, a higher place. And God can lift us up out of any situation, out of any grief, out of any sorrow, out of any difficulty, into the realm of His Spirit and sustain us there if we would but pursue, if we would seek His face. In the times of difficulty, the times of trouble, amen, we should be pursuing God and not doctors and not medication. I'm not saying you don't ever use medication. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that we need to pursue God first and foremost in everything we do. And God has enough grace, sufficient grace. Hallelujah. If you would turn in your Bibles today to Romans chapter 12, we're going to begin here in just verse 1. Most of us can quote this from memory. And question today is it a practice in your life? Is this what we've done? Have you actually done this? There's a difference between knowing what God says and doing what God says. Romans 12 and 1, and so, dear brothers and sisters, and this is the New Living Translation. Let me just read it to you. Listen, I plead with you. I plead with you, Paul the Apostle, to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 in the New King James. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always. Everybody say always.
Always.
That means at all times. Abounding. That means to superabound in quantity and quality. So at all times, superabounding in quantity and quality in the work of the Lord. How many are doing this? Knowing that your labor is not in vain or for nothing in the Lord. If you have been saved, you have been saved to serve. To serve others. Not to live a self-centered life, but to live for the one who saved you and called you out from this world to be His own possession. That He would put His Spirit in you and He would work through you to touch this world. So we have to present. Say, God, I give you my body because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and I give it back to you as a reasonable service. It's only reasonable based upon all that Jesus did for us and the price that He paid for us at the cross. Folks, we don't deserve what Jesus did for us. We didn't deserve the cross, and we don't deserve God. We don't deserve Him. But God first loved us, for God so loved, was so passionately in love with His creation, with His people, with the lost, with you and I. He's so in love with us that He was willing to pay the highest price for you. You don't redeem something that's not valuable. You don't redeem something that's not precious. God bought us with His own blood because we're valuable, because we're precious to Him. And He wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to be His children. He wanted us to be able to enjoy His kingdom with Him. He wants a family. He doesn't want slaves. He wants sons and daughters. He wants those who are willingly, out of love for their Father, to say, "Yes, Father, let me bring you honor. What can I do for you? How can I love you back? How can I love God back?" That's the question. What can I do for you, my King? You've done so much for me. What can I now do for you? I've wasted too many years living for myself, in vanity and in pride. My labor is never in vain in the Lord. What you do out of love for Him, out of obedience to the will of God, you'll never lose. You'll never regret. But that's the only thing that's going to last. One life, 'twill soon be past. What? Only what's done for Christ will last. I don't want to come before the King in that day with empty hands and have Him say, "What did you do with what I gave you? I invested in you greatly. I put my divine impartation in you of the gifts and the graces of my Spirit. And what have you done with what I've given you?" Are we going to be able to look upon Jesus with joy in that day and say, "Lord, you gave me this, but I brought back this. You gave me a little, but I brought back much. I've been faithful with whatever you gave me, Lord." Or are we going to be like some who are going to be ashamed in that day and say, "Lord, I took and hid what you gave me in the earth. I wasted your investment." You understand that God is calling every one of us to a life of service for Him. Everyone is called to serve the living God. And we serve Him by serving one another, by serving others. When we serve the ones we see, we're serving the God we don't see. And we don't do this out of a religious obligation to earn credit. We don't do this out of some legal obligation to somehow be right with God. But we do this because we love God. Amen. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous." We don't serve God for what we can get out of it. Or do we? But we're serving God as a means of loving Him back. And that's the title of today's message, Loving God Back. Amen. I have found great joy in serving my King and serving God. I have found fulfillment. I have found satisfaction in the will of God. Amen. It's the only place you will be satisfied is in the purpose of God for your life. And it's not for you. But you are to follow the example of Jesus, who came to give His life. He came to serve and not to be served. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you, for my sake in the gospel, lose your life, that means you invest it, you give your life away, you will find it. Moses, at the burning bush, the call of God came to him, the great I Am spoke. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Before Abraham was, I am." The I Am, the Word, spoke to Moses through that burning bush. And He called him to be a deliverer to God's people. And so Moses, as God was beginning to tell him, Moses, I want you to do something that's impossible for you. He didn't say that, but as Moses was listening, he was trying to process in his mind to say, but God, me? Little old me to be the deliverer of this great nation? How many know it's wise for us to have a proper perspective on ourselves? You know, sometimes we can get critical of Moses, but what would you and I think if God came to us in that same situation? Because naturally, we know that that's impossible. I cannot do such a great thing naturally. So Moses began to look in himself and he's saying, well, let's see, I got a little bit of a talent here and a little bit of... And God's saying, Moses, you're looking in the wrong place. Because what I'm calling you to do is much bigger than you are, and you'll never be able to accomplish what I've called you to do apart from my ability. So here comes the relationship factor. Being connected to Him, trusting and leaning upon Him for grace to do what is impossible, humanly speaking. Because the will of God for your life is impossible for you to do humanly, to do naturally. You see, many people can serve and do many good deeds and good works in their flesh, completely in their flesh, just being do-gooders, you know, going around doing good things. But there's a difference between just doing good things and doing the right things that are in agreement with the will of God for you. And we need to know what God is saying, and what God has called me to is bigger than I am. I guarantee, folks, what God has called you to do is beyond what you can do naturally. You want to know what God's will is? It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. We're all in this together. In fact, we're all part of something much bigger than we are. God is much bigger, and the kingdom is much bigger than us. We work together. Amen? We work together as a team, as a family, the family of God. We are an army. We need to be in our place, amen, and know, well, I'm a corporal, I'm a private, I'm a, you know, I'm a gun bearer, I'm a straight leg, I'm artillery, I'm mortar platoon, I don't know, whatever it is God's called you to do, we all have a specific assignment, amen, and we need to discover that. And folks, listen, you're not going to discover that unless you're willing to pursue the will of God. You'll never possess what you are unwilling to pursue. How many want to know God's will? Then you need to seek His face. Amen? Turn off the TV. Turn off everything else. Get on your face and say, God, I don't want to waste another day in vanity. I want to know what You're saying. I want to do Your will. I want to love You back. I want to say thank You by my life. I'm going to honor my God who saved me with such a great salvation. So that in that day when I see Jesus, I'll hear Him say, well done. You've been faithful. Amen. Good and faithful, right? Servant. God is the one who qualifies us for the work He's called us to do. And again, God's will is not based upon what you and I possess naturally, but what He supplies, hear it, supernaturally. Come on, there's a lot of churches that do a lot of natural things. A lot of Christian things. But they're dead. There's no life. There's no ministry of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And God's looking for fruit. He's looking for a place where He can manifest Himself in this world. Not only through signs and wonders and miracles, but by the grace of His Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace, the authentic, amen, of the Spirit. God's looking for someone who will be available and say, God, I'm going to love You back, and I'm going to offer my body now to serve. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes we get that twisted around, you know, when we've done everything we've wanted to do, and sometimes we even get this mentality, well, one of these days I'll retire and then I'll serve God. If you're not serving God now, chances are, tomorrow never comes for some, you know. You better get on it now, folks. We don't know how many days or minutes we have left on this planet. Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen. And things are changing very quickly. Wake up. It's time for the church to be evangelized. Time for the church to repent. God speaks to me. God convicts me. I thank God for it. It doesn't always feel good. But I thank God that He loves me enough to tell me the truth. You've heard it said, but people who love you will tell you the truth. Even if it gets a negative reaction. Even if you know it's going to cost you to say something. Come on, there's times when God says, speak to him. Samuel, I want you to go and speak to Saul. Oh, no, God, please, not that. Samuel went to Saul and he pronounced judgment according to the word of the Lord upon him because Saul was a people pleaser and he didn't obey the word of the Lord to completely, you know, blot out Amalek, that which represents the flesh life, the sin nature. And so Samuel, being faithful to the Lord, it went and he spoke to Saul. And then the Lord told Samuel, now, Samuel, I want you to go and fill up your horn with oil. Do you want more? Be faithful with what he tells you to do. You want greater anointing? Hallelujah. It's going to come through daily acts of obedience. Sometimes we think, I'm just going to go up there and have people lay hands on me. I'm going to get all this. God's saying, well, what are you doing with what you got now? Oh, Jesus, we want to serve you and we want to be faithful. And God, I know there's times when I'm not listening to, and I'm asking you, God, to round me up, Lord, reel me in, keep me straight, keep me focused, keep me mindful, Lord, every day of why I've been saved, why I'm here. And it's not for me. It's for you. It's for others. Never be a Christian for yourself. You're not called to be a, you can't be a Christian for yourself. So here, let's listen to Moses' excuse here in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? What did he do? He recognized that he first had an inability to do what he was called to do in himself. In other words, he had a sober assessment of who he really was. The Bible says that Moses was the most humble man. Now, if you would read and study the life of Moses, you know that Moses was not a weakling. How many know that humble does not mean weak? It means strength under control. He was a mighty man, but he was submitting himself to God and to his authority. That's true humility. It's not being a doormat for people to walk on. So it's important that we first recognize our own ability to do God's will. But we also need to understand, folks, it's not who we are. It's not who we are, but who He is. And if God tells you to do something, He's also going to provide the grace for you to accomplish it. Even if it's impossible for you to do. God's just looking for some good men and women that will say, okay, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but if you told me to do it, it's possible. If it's bigger than me, I know it's your will. And if you tell me to do it, I know that you're going to back up your word. Wouldn't it be ridiculous if God were to tell us to do something and then He just leave us on our own to do it? No. He just looks for a heart that says, yes, Lord, I'll be obedient now. I'll listen to you now. I'm willing to go wherever you send me, whatever you tell me to do. And as we step out in obedience, guess what? Jesus meets you there. There's been times when God has sent me to go places and do things that I didn't want to do, but I knew God wanted me to do that. And you know what? There's been times when I've walked into buildings and places where God sent me to talk to somebody, and I'm walking up, and oh, God, and I'm praying, and I open that door, and Jesus says, hi, I've been waiting for you. Woo! Yeah, me and Jesus can do this thing, no problem. And He gives you great boldness. Because it's not of you. And our weakness is His strength. So He makes us able. Exodus 3:12 says, so He, God, said, Moses, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, verse 14, what? I am who I am. Okay. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. You know, it's very important that we understand that I am is all throughout the New Testament revelation of Jesus as being the I am. Yeah. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. Amen? I am the living water. I am. So here, he gets this instruction from the Lord. It's bigger than him. He starts to look at inside himself and say, but God, I can't do that. But God is not happy with his answer. Now listen to Moses' second excuse. It was the unbelief of the people, he said. In chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me. Or listen to my voice, for they will say the Lord did not appear to you. Sometimes we fail to realize God knows the hearts of all people. God would never tell us to do something that he's not willing to back up, right? Now, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is in us, people will be compelled to listen to the God who is in us and speaking through us. Because it's not I that people need, but Jesus. You understand, sometimes we're in the seat of authority in our own lives and don't even realize it. And when God comes to us and tells us to do something, we start to look at ourselves and our own human ability, and we start to rationalize whether or not we can do it or not, right? But God is not going to tell you to do something that he's not going to back up. But we've got to get out of his way, if you will. We've got to get off the throne and say, okay, God, I can do it through Christ. I can't do it, but I can do it through Christ, who is my strength. Amen. See, God is trying to wean us off self-sufficiency, self-centeredness, a self-led or motivated life. He wants us to learn how to set self aside so we can follow him. Amen. We cannot do what he's called us to do from ourselves. This is just the thing. If our Christianity can be measured by just that which can be humanly possible, it is actually not a walk of faith at all. Yeah. Hear me. If we can do it naturally, then it will be of you, and your reward will be just what you did naturally. But what God does is supernatural. Supernatural. And God will tell us to do something in this body as an act of obedience, a step of faith. Hear me. As a step of faith, and then the supernatural manifestation of God's presence will come. And back up what he called you to do. God tells you, I want you to go and pray for somebody. I want you to go pray for that person over there. Oh God, they look pretty creepy. I don't know if I want to do that. That's when you have to say, self, shut up. Sit down. Amen. I'm going to follow the Lord. You're going to follow the Lord. Soul, you're going to submit to the authority of the Spirit. You're going to be Spirit-led. And we're going to follow and we're going to say, okay, God. And we go and we pray for that person. And if it's God's word that came to you, guess what? It's not an if. That person will be healed. You know, Jesus said, I only do what my Father does. What I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear him say. And I want to learn to be like Jesus. How about you? So God gave Moses three signs. I want you to write these down, if you will, to assure him and to confirm his word. Number one, the sign of his power over the devil. Look at this in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses did what? Ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Why? Because God manifests a greater power over the serpent. Hello. What does Mark 16 say? It doesn't say you bring crates of rattlesnakes into your church service. He says what? You will pick up serpents. He's talking about having authority over the devil. God's given us authority in Christ over the devil, over the power of the devil. And so here we see it in type in Moses, because the things that were written down before were written down for our admonition. They were written down for us today to look back and see how God does things. Hear it. And Jesus was the fulfillment of that which was written before. The second sign was the Lord's ability to cure diseases and the leprosy of sin. Exodus 4 and verse 6. Again, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, put your hand back inside your cloak. So he put his hand back inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. How many know that in the Old Testament, leprosy represents what? Sin. It's a type of sin. Amen. And they would have to cover themselves up, and they would walk through, you know, the crowds, and usually not in the crowds, but on the external places where they were allowed to walk, and they'd have to cover themselves. And if they encountered anybody, they'd have to cry out what? Clean, unclean. And isn't that just the way we are without Jesus? Amen. We're just like that leper. All we can do is try to hide who we really are inside, who we know we really are. Not what people see, but who we know we really are, and the leprosy of sin. We're like that leper that just says, oh God, I'm unclean. What am I going to do about this sin problem I have? Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad there is a solution? Yes. There's a Redeemer. Yes. Jesus, God's own Son, the Messiah, yes. The Holy One, the one who went to the cross to pay the price for that sin, that leprosy, so that we could be cleansed. What does that mean? It means that God has given us the power over sickness and disease, but also over sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin cannot tell you what to do. If you're in Christ, you've become a son and a daughter. You've been given the authority over sin. Reckon yourself. Consider yourself indeed what? Dead to sin, but alive unto God. Thank you, Jesus. And the third sign was the sign of his transforming power. God gives us power over the devil. He frees us from the power of sin. But he also transforms hearts and lives. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody here been transformed? Yes. How many are still in the process of transformation? Yes. Say amen, right? Yes. The third sign was the sign of his transforming power. Transformation of natural elements here. In verse 8, it says, if they will not believe you, God said, or listen to the first sign, that they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. He turned the water into wine. Jesus manifested the first miracle at Canaan, remember? It's changing what? Water. Transformation. Even of natural elements. Why? Because he's the Creator God. He's the Creator. He's the Word. So he's able to do this. But the greatest miracle, folks, is not some kind of, even though we like to see, you know, transformational miracles or what we call creative miracles, the greatest miracle of all is the heart, amen, that has been changed. A new heart, a new beginning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So here, three things. God gives us power over the devil. He frees us from the power of sin, and he transforms our hearts and lives. The third excuse of Moses was his physical limitations. What does he say in verse 10? Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and tongue. Now the New Living Translation puts it this way here. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, O Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied. And my words get tangled. God says, you're exactly who I need. Come on. It's not about your human ability. God will take us in our inability and make us able. He will turn your weakness into a strength. He will manifest His power through your weakness. So if God's telling you to do something, you better listen. You know, I know why? Because God hates unbelief. When God tells us to do something and we don't do it, it means we don't believe Him. See, Moses was struggling with some unbelief here. Why this? What about this, God? What about, you know, what if they don't accept me? What if they don't hear me? If nobody likes me? Oh, I can't speak. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm not like Billy Graham or one of those guys. And no, God says, don't worry about that. Who made man's tongue? Who made you? You think God may have a little better idea about us than we do? I mean, if God's telling us to do something, it's not, oh, you know, Moses, I never thought about that. God got angry, folks. He had a reason to be. It's the God of the universe speaking to him, and he's questioning God. We've done that, haven't we? What about Paul? It says in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that he struggled, right, with infirmities. And God said each time he had asked God to take it away, he says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so the power of Christ can work through me. Do you know what happens when we boast in our strengths? We lose grace. You want God's grace on your life? Humble yourself. Realize it's not of you. Acknowledge God in everything. Amen. Give God the glory. Acknowledge that I can't do it, but God can do it. And I can do all things through Christ. It's not in our infirmities, but our unbelief that hinders us in the service for God. Hear me. It's not our infirmities, but our unbelief that hinders us from doing the work of God. God has all power. God has all authority. God says and it is done. Amen? God sends and we should go because He has called you and I. He's always worked through human beings in the earth realm, hasn't He? He looks for a man, He looks for a woman who will say yes. God, I'm willing to go. Go higher. Go into the will of God. Step up out of yourself, out of your natural ability, into the supernatural realm of the Spirit, where God will manifest His glory and His power. Yes, and He will confirm His word, just like He did with Moses. He will confirm His word in your life with signs and wonders and miracles, confirming that He is Christ, that He is risen, that He has all authority in heaven and on earth, that God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name above every name. Who are we to question God? Can the thing that is formed say to Him who formed it, why did you make me this way? You see the arrogance in that? It's, you know, like the guy in the potter's wheel. He's making that clay, you know. He's making that clay pot. And if that clay could speak it, and it spoke out and says, I don't like the way you're making me. It's like, what? I mean, that's our human response. You know, I believe that God chuckles sometimes at us folks, the way what we, you know. But we need faith. We need to believe beyond ourselves, beyond our ability. You know, there are people that have struggled with problems in their lives for years that God wants to deal with. God wants to set you free from. Some people are dealing with addictions. They've been dealing with addictions for years. God wants to set you free from it. But folks, He cannot set you free until you come into a place where you begin to believe that He's able. Once you come to the place where you really believe God is able, then you will be free. That's what it took for me. Came to the place where I had to be willing to go where God told me to go and to do what God told me to do. Because I believe that if God says you're free, then I'm free. Amen. Oh, well, I have to tell my mind what God says. If I'm in Christ, if I'm a new creation, I'm a son. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. But my mind is warring. My mind still says, but I've been in Egypt for so many years and I still think like an Egyptian. I'm still bound up in that situation. And my mind has to be renewed so that it has to come into agreement, into alignment with what the Spirit is saying. I have to change my thinking. That's what repentance is. It means to change your mind. Lord, I repent. Forgive me for my unbelief. And you know, it's okay to say, God, help my unbelief. I do it all the time. And the fourth excuse was, of course, his unwillingness to go. In verse 13, Moses again pleaded, Lord, and this is New Living Translation. He says, please send anyone else. Just don't send me. His response prevented God's divine enablement. As a result, Moses remained an ineffective speaker. Do you understand, folks? There are consequences for unbelief. If we persist in it, if we continue to resist the Spirit of God when He's telling us to do something, God will say, okay, well, I'll have to choose somebody else. And so Moses, amen, had Aaron to speak for him. But God told Moses, listen, who made your tongue? Can I not use you? Can I not speak through you and give you the ability to articulate correctly? Yes. But it's your unbelief that's preventing you. And therefore, God says, okay. He got angry at him because he wasn't believing. And he says, okay, I'm going to take some of that off of you and I'm going to put on Aaron and I'm going to put you guys together and you're going to use you as a team. Now, some people today are saying, well, I know what God is telling me to do, but I'm scared. What is that? Unbelief. Fear is unbelief. It's the opposite of faith. If I'm fearful to do God's will, it means that I'm in unbelief. What I need to do is I need to rise up in faith. And hear it, courage is not the absence of fear. It's the mastery over fear. All of us struggle with fear. But what we have to do is we have to rise up in faith and say, I will not let fear be my master. Fear will be under my feet and I can do exactly what God said I can do. God said I can heal the sick, and so I'm going to pray and heal the sick to glorify the Lord. I'm going to speak the word of God because God told me to witness for Him. But fear says, oh, no, you're not. Goliath. Who are you to defy the living God? You need to get a hold of your fear and say, who are you to defy the living God? Rise up in faith in your God. My God is big. He's not just big. He's beyond measure. He's the I Am. I'm sorry to embarrass Judy here, but we used to play for Judy when she was young, and it was, let the size of your God determine the size of your dreams. Now, how often do we limit God because of our unbelief? We also need to think soberly according to the measure of grace God has given us. And that's why we must pursue God. We must seek Him. So that we will get a revelation. He will reveal to us His plan His purpose for our lives. And then when He speaks to us, we need to be willing to say, yes, Lord, whatever it is, I'm willing to go. And you know what God is doing? God is allowing things in your life and in my life to get us into that place where we say, Lord, I'm ready for you now. I'm ready for whatever, wherever, whoever, I'm ready to go with you. I'm done with me. I'm done with my ways. I'm done with my life. And if you don't feel that way, hang on, because God's begun a good work in you too. God knows how to get our attention. God knows He allows us to go out there and do the stupid thing. Self-will. And allows us to fail. Like He did Peter. Over and over again until we finally come to the place where we say, God, all right, I get it. I get it now. It's got to be your way. It's got to be your will. I've wasted enough time. Amen? God's calling you. I'm through this world. It's going to hell. Amen? It's like Dean said, and I've heard it before, but it was, I'm going to plunder hell and populate heaven. We are going to live for Jesus. We are going to be world changers because there is a world changer inside every believer. And He wants to come out. Amen? The Spirit of God wants to come out. He wants to manifest through you. And it's going to be beyond and above what you could do naturally. So we serve a mighty God and a supernatural God who is able to make all grace abound to us. All grace abound. He is mighty. Mighty to save. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Do you believe this? Not everybody's called to pulpit ministry. Amen? But we're all called to serve. We all have giftings and a testimony. And I talked about this Wednesday, but as leaders, we are to be servant leaders. We are not to be dictators. We are here to serve. Jesus said, He who will be greatest among you must become the servant of all. Amen? Do you want to be great in the kingdom? Commit yourself to God. Offer your body. Seek His face. Discover what it is God's called you to do. And when you hear His voice, don't delay. Go. Obey Him. Listen. You want more oil? You want a greater anointing? Be faithful in what you have right now. We need people to serve here in this church. We need workers. We need helpers. We need people to serve in this community. Amen. They need help down at the food bank. Amen. They need some people that have a Jesus heart to go down there and serve the community. There's opportunities, folks, wherever you find yourself in Walmart or Fred Meyer to serve Jesus right where you work. Amen. Bloom where you're planted. But we are called to serve and not to be served. If we will come with an attitude of, what can I do to bless you? Rather than come and, what's in it for me? That's why this church is so awesome. It's because the majority of the people that come here have a heart to serve. They have a heart to bless and to give and to do for others. And when you have a whole group of people coming together with an attitude of gratitude and a willingness to serve, and I'm not here to get what I can get, I'm here to give. Because I know how God works. If I give, I will get. Amen. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many are willing to make that commitment today? You know you haven't really given God the whole offering, but you're willing to do it. You understand? Do you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? There's coming a day of accountability. There's coming a day when every man, woman, boy, and girl throughout history is going to stand before, amen, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in that day, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. We will give an account. And the Lord will say, what did you do with what I gave you? And in that day, I'm going to say, oh, Jesus, I want to be able to say, you gave me this much, but I brought this much. You gave me a little, but I've gone and made an increase of that. Amen. You blessed me with this gift so I can bless somebody else. You understand? Sometimes we get into this thing where we come to church and we just think it's all about me and getting goosebumps, you know? You know what I'm saying? It's a bless me club, right? You heard it said. No. We get blessed so we can be a blessing. We get filled so we can pour out to others. And if we're all pouring out into one another, there is a convergence of the glory of God that it creates an atmosphere of heaven on earth. That's why it's so good when we really all just join together in unity and worship. And we're pouring out to God. And He pours back into us. For what reason? So we can go around and say, look how spiritual I am. No. So we can manifest Christ. His presence. God help us. For we have this treasure. 2 Corinthians 4:7. In what? In a clay jar. We're just made of clay. Do you know that, right? That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So God decided to use clay vessels to put His power in and manifest Himself through in this realm, the earth realm. Yeah. So that the excellence of the power may be of Him and not of us. I'm that vessel. How many here would say, you know what? I want to finish well. I want to finish well. It doesn't matter where you're at today, where you've been, how badly you've wandered, how badly you've blown it. All of us have blown it. Come on, say amen, somebody. Amen. All of us have fallen short. All of us have blown it. But God, we don't want to blow it anymore. And we keep blowing it as long as we're trusting in ourselves. As long as we're relying on ourselves to do this. But God, we want to depend on You. We want to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Lord, I ask You to arrest every heart and every mind in this place today. And we bind every spirit of opposition in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, we take authority over you in the authority of Jesus Christ. We take authority over all demons in the authority of Jesus Christ. And we command you right now to take your hands off God's people. Take your hands off now. The Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus is against you. And you have been defeated. And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.